Sano, Sego, Sigoli, Ani, and welcome to Compelling Conversations. I'm your host, David Moses. You're listening to CKRZ 100.3 FM, the voice of the Grand. My guest here in the studio is Pete Ash. Now, Pete is the principal leader for the Safe and Inclusive Schools for the Grand Erie District School Board, and it's a pleasure to have him here in the studios at CKRZ to talk about their anti-racism project. Now, this came to my attention, and I went to the Grand Erie District School Board website, where you can actually go and see the videos we're going to be talking about, and you can also gain a lot more information about other things they're doing associated with this. So it's a pleasure to have Pete here in the studio. Now, I want to try and set this up for you a little bit before we get into it, and I'm going to just give you a quote that is on the page from the Director of Education for the Grand Erie District School Board, Joanne Roberto. She says, "These interviews provide a springboard to action, and we hope the conversations they generate will be the first steps on meaningful learning journey. The conversations are necessary, often uncomfortable, and meant to confront our beliefs and understanding, but they are also meant to connect our hearts and minds as we work together to build a culture of learning, well-being, and belonging." So with that, Pete, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you being here. Can you tell us a little bit about how this all got started and when?
So this project actually started several years ago. The board recognized that we needed to do work around equity. We also knew that we were seeing a changing demographic, but besides the changing demographic, we have members of our community who have not been feeling represented within the education system in general. Of course, this is radio, so nobody would know, but actually, I am biracial. My father was black and my mother was white, and I was raised within the Ontario school system. And I know that in my own experience, it was not always a positive experience for somebody who was like me, and I did not feel represented. So the school board started on this project to make sure that our students felt that they were safe and welcome within our schools. The project, it was a bit of a journey. I would say that I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago that it started. And it started as an entirely different project. The concept was very different. I was brought in as a, I was a principal in a school within the board. And I was kind of tapped on the shoulder and said, "Hey, would you mind, you know, giving us some feedback?" The project as it was, I don't think it hit the mark. So the board was very accepting of feedback and entirely revamped the project. They brought in consultants who represented different identities and entirely redid the project with the concept that racism is not, it's not a logical thing. It's not born from logic. It's born from emotions. And it's deep within people, and it's deeply rooted in, you know, all of their, this is sum total of all their life experiences and all of their, everything they've ever heard, everything they've ever seen, everything they've ever witnessed is part of that. So you can't attack racism from a logic standpoint. Otherwise, if I wrote a really good essay or I showed you a great graph, you go, "Oh, well, that makes sense. There shouldn't be any racism," and it would be done. The only way that you can address racism or any form of discrimination is, in my personal experience, through personal connections. You have to connect with people, and people need to understand personally what other people are going through for it to have meaning for them. And, you know, we sit in a culture that that is very Eurocentric, and a lot of people have blind spots. And people have said to me, "Well, is it really that bad? Was it really that bad?" And I have to say, in my experience, it was, right? And for them, in their truth is that it wasn't. But part of the idea of this project, because this was aimed at our staff as well,
right,
to let people know this is something that actually impacted the people that you work with, the students that are in front of you. This is real. This is real for us. So the idea was to make that personal connection. And in the end, I thought they did they produced a really good project in terms of it being something that is that creates an emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very long-winded answer. I'm sorry, Dave.
No, it's fine. You know, it's interesting that you said it was aimed at the staff, and that's pointed out in some of the videos, that it is geared towards the instructors, the teachers that need to be aware. And you know what you were just saying about the connection or the need to address racism at an emotional level, and also on that, from that talking, from the connections, from getting to know one another. I guess the thing that really surprises me, and this is a little off the topic to some degree, that in this day and age of 2023, we are still struggling to find those connections, even though we are a multicultural society. We've been aware of all these things for a long time, and yet it's still we're missing the mark. We're not able to make that leap or put ourselves in someone else's shoes, I guess, if, for a better lack of a way to say it, right? And it's interesting that this still needs to happen. Those videos, though, like you say, I think they do a good job of raising a lot of awareness and talking about specific issues and things. Even though it's aimed at the teachers wanting to learn or needing to learn, it also is telling the stories from a student perspective in many of the video that gets that point across.
Yes.
All in all, there are 6 videos, and they're like under 4 minutes long, I believe, most of them. Yeah. There's an introduction, and then there's the We All Belong, Learn My Name, We Want to Be Safe, We Want to Be Seen and Heard, and then Learn the Language. And then there's additional materials. Like I said, each of them under 4 minutes, so they're pretty easy to watch and informative. You mentioned about yourself having grown up and how the system kind of failed you. And that's pointed out in the videos as well about the system, going through the system. You mentioned the Eurocentric society that we still are sort of living in. The system, you know, again, it's like I always think about when I hear about things like the market. Oh, the market, you know, the stock market is doing this. And I'm going, you know what? The stock market just doesn't do this stuff. It's people behind it that are affecting it.
The system
just
is
like
people.
The system that we live in, people are affecting it.
That's right.
I don't know where I'm going with that, but I'm wondering if you have a comment on that.
Well, no, I agree with you 100%. The system is people, right? There's nothing more to the system but people. I work with some amazing people and some amazingly kind and compassionate people that want the best for students. But I also believe that you don't know what you don't know. Mm. And that really sometimes what it comes down to is blind spots, where it's not something that they've ever experienced. It's not, if you've always been in the, the hegemony, if you've always been in the dominant culture, then you just don't have those experiences. I've had friends that have said, well, you know, I've never seen racism around town. Is it really that bad? Mm. And then I have to say to them, well, you haven't seen it because it's not directed at you.
Right.
Right? So one of the questions I have to do, or I've given the opportunity to do some training with some of our staff over the last couple of months, and what we call our inclusive language guide that the board has created. And one of the questions that I will ask people is, I will say, firstly, can you tell me when you were first aware of your race? And then the second question is, when was it that your race impacted you negatively?
Mm.
When was the first time you remember that? And it just gets people thinking, it puts it kind of opens the door to realizing that their experience is different, and their experience is true for them. It's not, you know, it's their truth, it's their perspective, but everybody's got a different perspective. The approach that we take towards anti-racism is not that I need to be an expert in everyone's culture. I need to create a culture in my school that where people feel represented, they see themselves there, where they feel not just respected, but valued, that they actually feel that they are considered and valued by the community. And if you have a community in which everyone feels accepted, represented, valued, then that's the culture that you want to create. That's it. That's the answer.
So what have you learned from this process as you went through this? Like you said, it went through a change. What were you seeing from both sides? You have firsthand experience at this, but you also were able to see and meet with people within the school system that you work in that had not seen this. And I'm wondering, you know, as this is pointed towards the teachers and instructors to some degree about being aware and starting to learn these things, what did you see and hear as this was rolling out that may have surprised you?
One of the things that did surprise me, and in my own past, I got by through proximity to whiteness. My skin complexion isn't that dark. I was adopted, so I was raised in an all-white family. Well, it wasn't really an all-white family. It was a white family, but I have two older siblings who are were biologically my parents' kids. And then I have a brother who is blonde and green-eyed very white complexion. I have a sister who's also biracial, black and white, and I had a younger sister who is indigenous. So we had this mixed family. And my experiences, for me, my race was always there, and I got by being a good student and keeping my head down and not causing any ripples. And that's to try to blend into the background. And I've realized that I have not done a service to the kids that I teach. I have not done a service to, as a person who's come through this system, you know, and as you said, how is this still happening? You know, I was born in the 60s. How is this still going on? Why is this something that is, we're not further along? We're further than we were, but we're nowhere near where we need to be.
Right.
And have I myself done enough to move this forward?
Right.
And that's one thing. And the second thing was, again, that people, I don't think that 90% of people is intentional. I think it's just blind spots. I think they just don't know what they don't know.
What are the next steps, you think, for this project or this, as this rolls out? You've implemented it.
Yes.
When do these videos go online?
They went online within the last month. Though there were some final edits to be done, the draft versions actually went out to school administrators in January and February, and they've started to incorporate them into staff meetings. And we've suggested in the training that we gave to administrators that they can use these at the starting of staff meetings, because we have other versions that have questions at the end, some thought-provoking questions. And the idea is if you're going to start your staff meeting, and you're going to start talking about how you're going to support kids, then having an equity lens, having a lens as you start that work of acceptance and consideration of different perspectives and different students' needs, whether that's race, whether that's a gender identity, gender expression, whether that has to do with students who are neurodiverse, students who live in poverty, students who have accessibility issues, for whatever different perspectives and needs that people have, that you have an open mind as you start your planning so that you are thinking about consciously considering people in your planning. So we'll continue that, and we'll continue also the work that we've done. We've been working in some of the schools in helping to redefine culture, and helping to create that positive, encouraging culture, culture of not just acceptance, but value.
Right. And inclusion,
yeah.
I guess.
And inclusion, yeah. We also talk about inclusion being more than, you can be invited to a dance, consider that included, but nobody asks you to dance,
right?
Yep. So it's that valuing somebody as well as including them.
Right. Was there an assembly where the students got to see these videos or anything like that, or were they just posted online? Well, I'm just wondering to what extent the student population has been made aware of these.
Right. At this moment, it's only if an administrator has used them in a project. We've done a few. At one of the high schools, we did some presentations that their students wanted to do presentations, so they did present presentations by grade. The videos have mostly been just for adults because they were designed for staff. Though it's interesting, when kids watch them, I get two reactions. I get kids saying either that was me, particularly the comments around not bringing traditional food to schools, and one student even telling me that she stopped speaking her first language at home.
Wow.
When she was three, and she was very embarrassed about that. The second reaction is they say they were fine, they were good, but I wish we'd seen more kids' stories. Like, we really, really wanted to see the stories of the kids. And that's when I kind of went back to them. I said, why do you think there was more of a mix, why there were adults as well as kids? And then they dawned on them and they went, oh, it was for adults, wasn't it? I said, yes, it was. So we're trying to start from the top in terms of training administrators, training teachers to have that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some supports at the school level to help the culture of the classroom. So to kind of come at it from both ends.
Right. How big of an area does Grand Erie cover? Like, you know,
Haldimand County, Norfolk County, Brantford, and Brant County.
Okay. Being so close to Six Nations.
Yes. And
a lot of students, I'm sure, are going to the Grand Erie District School Board, if not living in the area and going to the schools there. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to sideline this. I'm just wondering, to what extent do you think that had an impact on any of this? If it did, I know there's multicultural people, there's lots of races and people in the area anyway, but I'm just wondering if you think it had an impact somehow.
Absolutely did. It absolutely, absolutely did. Our students from Six Nations and the Mississauga of the Credit First Nations are absolutely part of why this project came about as well. And we worked closely with our Indigenous Education Department as well in creating this and working with them.
Right. You know, the other thing that's interesting, talking about history and awareness and those kind of things, we all know that in the past, and I'm certainly hoping this is now being updated to reflect history correctly in terms of what happened in Canada with residential schools, with Indigenous people and all that kind of thing. But when you said about this student, and it sounded, I think, like it may have been a student that came from another culture, maybe outside of Canada,
right? Yes.
Who decided not to speak their own language in their home.
Yes.
And I just, the first thing I thought about, wow, that sounds an awful lot like residential school and the impact of residential school.
Absolutely does.
And there's that connection again. There's these connections, these things that make us a lot closer than we think.
Absolutely. And it's almost that we talk about the whitewashing. I've asked people when I do presentations, I said, please don't. I understand the sentiment when somebody says, I don't see color. I understand what they're trying to say.
Right.
But what you're actually saying is you don't see anybody as different. You see everybody through your lens.
Right.
And you don't acknowledge the different life experiences and the different challenges that other people have had that you may or may not have had.
Right.
So to say that you don't see my color means you don't really see me at all. And I find it the same with it for Indigenous students. There's that, it's almost like familiarity breeds complacency.
Right.
Right. And the voice of the Indigenous students, needs to be part of Grand Erie's voice.
Pete, thanks so much. Is there anything else you think we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention or you think is important to mention?
No, I think I've probably spoken far more than I should have in terms of taking up your time.
Oh, no, not at all.
But no, I the board is on a long journey and it's committed to this journey. And it is really committed to creating a place where all of our students want to be and they feel safe and they feel valued. Mm. And that's my goal, and I know that's the board's goal.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thanks again so much for coming in and talking to me today. I really appreciate you taking the time to come here and do this.
Great. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Pete Ashe. He's the principal leader of Safe and Inclusive Schools for the Grand Erie District School Board. He's been here on Compelling Conversations with myself, David Moses, your host. For CKRZ-FM, I'm David Moses, and you have been listening to Compelling Conversations right here on The Voice of the Grand. Until next time, I say Ona and Bumapee.